It is amazing. You'll never guess what the title of the message today is. This was not in planned or us, but it's making the most of each opportunity. Luke chapter 16, would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? Today we're going to learn to make the most of each and every opportunity that God sets before us. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called and said to him, "What is this I hear? What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I have resolved what I will do when I'm put out of the stewardship. They may receive me into their houses." So he called everyone his master's debtors to him and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Tony Moore, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. I want to start with a question. Do you remember what the first message on our lessons in stewardship was? Remember the one point I asked you to remember? It was, it all belongs to God. I'm impressed. Y'all did very well. It all belongs to God. Do you remember the second point? You're accountable. Do you remember the third point? Invest in the future. Kind of runs together a little bit. I understand. And it's investing our talents, our stewardship into our families and our children. And last Sunday was bless the brethren. Bless the brethren. Did you bless someone last week? I hope so. If you didn't, you need to get with it this week, okay? Bless the brethren. Today, the point is make the most of every opportunity, lest you find yourself in the position that this steward found himself in, which was you're fired. You're fired. That's what this steward had heard. And the reason he heard the words "you're fired" is because he had been very foolish. The accusation had come to the master that this steward had been wasting his goods, squandering the wealth of his master, missing the opportunities to increase the profit of his master. He could have done anything he wanted to do. Here's a steward. It's all in his hands. He could have done anything he wanted to do. Anything. He just wasted the opportunity. He did nothing. So we see the words, "You're fired. No longer can you be a steward." I looked, and you know, and it's kind of like Beth's song that she and Andrea sing. Wondering, how many lives do you see wasted today? I look at things, the first thing that comes to mind are, you know, things like drugs and how that just steals a life from a person. Alcoholism, same thing. Lives with no purpose. I mean, it's foolish. God has given this one life and you just squander it. Waste it. So many in the world are that way. They have no purpose, or it's as if they have no purpose. The problem with this guy, he was very forgetful. He forgot he was a steward. He became the prodigal steward, if you will, of the wealth of his master, and no doubt neglecting his duty, perhaps abusing his duty, enjoying the master's wealth for himself. You know, and we're not told exactly what he done. We're just told what he didn't do. He wasn't a steward. He was not a steward. And so the master calls him to give inventory. Actually, he calls, he hears the report, and he calls him and says, "Bring me the books. You're fired." It's exactly the idea there. There didn't have to be a long, extensive accounting. It was obvious. "Bring me the books. You're fired. You can't be my steward anymore." You know, I thought about that. I thought, we're celebrating Memorial Day weekend, right? We're celebrating the life that we live and the freedoms that we have because men and women have sacrificed their lives so that we can enjoy this. Right? And most will, a lot of people will celebrate today tomorrow and this weekend by family gatherings. Some will go to the lake. Some will go somewhere else, take a trip out of town. And yeah, it's all good. But do you realize the significance of this weekend? I mean, really realize it. You see, most people do not understand that they have been given a golden opportunity. It's in our country, we're living in an age of entitlement. People think, "I have the right to live any way I want to live. I have the right to do anything I want to do because I am an American." It's not impressive that you're an American. Okay? You don't have a right to live and do anything you want to do. You have the privilege of being an American. And there's a big difference. As we consider the men and women who've died in all the wars of this country. You go down the list, and if I leave someone out, I'm sorry. But, you know, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Iraqi Freedom, Afghanistan. And, you know, we can go on, the Civil War. The list is big. And men and women who gave their life so that you can live the way you're living today. Now, if you were to stand before those men and those women who have sacrificed everything so that you could live this life, would they look at the life you're living and say, "That's what I died for"? That's kind of profound, is it not? I mean, sacrifices have been made through the ages. And the cry today with rights and... No. Where are you in your stewardship? Because, you see, there's a bigger judge than those who've given their lives as veterans and soldiers of this nation. One of these days, you're not going to stand in front of those guys. You're going to stand in front of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who is Jesus Christ. And will you be able to, or will Jesus, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, will He say, "That's what I died for. The life that you lived. Well done, you good and faithful servant. I'm so proud. You didn't deny my name. You were not ashamed of me." You're a steward. How are you doing? Are you foolish? Are you forgetful? This steward, as he realized, "Man, I've blown it." He knew that he was going to be fired and put out of the steward and lose his job. And there was no question about his guilt. Never did he say, "Oh no, I've been falsely accused." There was never any question. He thought, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do now?" He said, "I cannot dig." Put it in our language, "I have no skills to make a living." He said, I'm ashamed to beg. I'm losing it all. What in the world am I going to do now? Have you ever been to that point where we've lost it all, on the edge of losing it all, and you're afraid? Boy, as I face tomorrow, what's left? Well, he came up with a plan. He couldn't change the past. He couldn't undo what's back here. But he could prepare for the future. And what he did, he prepared by making friends with the creditors of the master. He ran to the creditors and said, "Look, how much do you owe?" And one said, well, "I owe 100 measures of wheat." He said, "Quick, change the bill. Cut it down to 80. Another owed 100 measures of oil. Change the bill. Cut it down to 50. And you know what they thought? "Yeah, I'm getting a big discount here." So they're all for it. They did it. And the master, it says, complimented him on his clever plan. Because he was shrewd. He took advantage of the opportunity. Now I want you to understand this. Take note, okay? Jesus did not compliment him and say, "Good job for being dishonest. Good job for stealing from the master." That's not the point. But Jesus did look at him and say, "Well, at least you did something. You took advantage of an opportunity." And Jesus made the comment. He said in verse 8, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light." You see, what Jesus is saying is the people of this world know how to take advantage of opportunities, right? There are people that know how to make money in this world. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, there are people that, and it's a gift in that if they touch it, it turns to gold. They just know how. They know how to take advantage of opportunities that are set before them. They know good investments. They know how to make the right friends. How to climb the corporate ladder, you know, and to fill up resumes. And they can do all, they know how to get ahead. But then there are stewards of the Master, Jesus, who go through this life coasting. Who go through this life never taking advantage of the opportunity that God sets before them. While the world are seizing their opportunities, God's people are doing nothing. And you see, it brings us to the focus of this whole message. There are three lessons that we need to learn. Number one, are you ready? Use your opportunities wisely. You only have one life. This is it. There are no do-overs. There are no mulligans. There are no try-agains. Once you spend today, you're through with today. And there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Today, you have the opportunity to, number one, share the gospel. To invest your lives in making friends. And I wonder, let me read this again to you. Verse 9, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. You know what he's talking about there? He's saying, look, here's the opportunity. You have blessings. You have material blessings which enable you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make friends. You know what? Money's not bad. Did you know that? No amens. Money's not bad. It's not. The poor use of money is bad. When money becomes your master, it's bad. What Jesus is saying is saying, look, if you've been blessed financially, what is the best investment you can make with your finances? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Make friends of the unrighteous mammon so that when the unrighteous mammon runs out, I know this says you, it should be translated it, but anyway, when it runs out or when it fails, they will welcome you into an eternal home. Here's the point. How many people are going to heaven because of you? That's the idea there. How many people are going to heaven because of you? That's what we're here for. I get excited about heaven, can't you? Talk about streets of gold, gates of pearl. We talk about the rapture and on Wednesday nights I get all excited. One of these days we're out of here. But who's going with me? Because I've shared the gospel. And I've explained to them the glory of the Savior. Who's going to be in heaven because of me? That's the question we've got to ask here. Use your opportunities wisely. Why? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But as we've been approved by God, and look at this next word, to be entrusted with the gospel. We have been given the most precious thing available on earth. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the words of eternal life. What are you doing with them? Oh, but Brother Doug, you don't understand. I just have trouble talking to somebody. Really? Do you? I visited with most of you from time to time. You don't have trouble talking. You don't. Don't use that. No, don't use that excuse. Besides, I can tell you how to witness to somebody and you don't even have to talk. Better yet, go to Brother Ken. He'll tell you. It's called track ministry. Put a track in their hand. Listen, this is the one shot. If somebody's going to go to heaven because of you, you're going to have to be a faithful steward and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's up to you. Make the most of your opportunities. Use them wisely. Second thing, be faithful in the way you use your material wealth. Verse 10 says, he who is faithful in least, in that which is least, is also faithful in that which is much. You cannot divorce the material from the spiritual. Right? We want to put them in two categories. Well, there's the business side and there's the spiritual side. They go hand in hand. I'm sorry. All right? You cannot divorce one from the other. And I've made an important discovery. Those who are generous in their kingdom giving seem to have more to be generous with in their kingdom giving. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that the big givers just seem to have more opportunity to be big givers than the little givers? Do you know why? Because that's the way it works with faithful stewardship. What better way, and I ask you, what better way is there, or better investment is there, than to invest your riches into the kingdom of God? What better investment? There is none. So question, do you tithe? Oh, there he goes. Huh? Do you tithe? Why not? Why not? Yeah. Well, Brother Doug, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. I've told you, you know, and you can't afford not to. Let me ask you this. You say, okay, yes, Brother Doug, I tithe. Do you give offerings? You see, you can't give an offering until you give a tithe. After you give a tithe, then you can give an offering, a free will offering, something you want to just bless the Lord with. Do you give offerings? Well, Brother Doug, not really. But yeah, sometimes I'll throw an extra 20 in the plate. No, do you give an offering? Okay. I want to tell you something. And the reason I get on this today is because I see God blessing. And I want everybody to be blessed. Okay? I'm not saying God will make you rich and you'll become a millionaire. I'm not. But I do know this. God will take care of you if you will be a faithful steward to the Lord. Alright? He will. I was looking and they were figuring up our finances for this week, this past week, and where we ended the month of May, or the month of April. What month come before May? And they shared with me, you know our goal was 500,000. You know how much it was by the time we received special offerings and the overage at the end of April. Brother Michael, you remember how much it was? $504,000 that had been received toward the building project in the last 8 months. I want to tell you, only God can do that. And only God will do that when God's people says, use me, Lord. Use me, I will give. And so I want to just take an opportunity this morning and thank you for being a vessel for God to give through. You've often heard, and I've said before, God won't give to you what He will give through you. Okay? It's not about heaping the pleasures and having, you know, our selfish desires. That's not about that. Okay? It's about God enabling us to be investors in the kingdom of God. Get in the habit of giving. Number one, get in the habit of tithing. Number two, get in the habit of giving. Why? Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Love this. Given it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That's a promise of God. With the same measure. You know what a measuring cup is? You know? It's what you use to cook with. With that same cup that you pour out, it'll be poured back into you. It's what he's saying. And let me tell you this. That word give is present tense. Which means it's not talking about one-time deal. It's talking about being a giver as a way of life. Okay? That, yeah, today I give. Tomorrow I give. Next week I'll give. Next month I'll give. Next year I'll give. As long as I'm on this earth and I have opportunity, I'm going to be a giver. That's what that verse means. You know, I've known people that, well, I gave an offering the other day and God's supposed to make me rich. That's hogwash. It doesn't happen, okay? But you be a giver so that God can be a giver to give through you. That's the idea of stewardship, my friends. Then finally, be wholly devoted. Wholly devoted to God. And single-minded. It's all about Him. Verse 13, no man can serve two masters. We can't walk in two directions at the same time. We've got to choose one or the other. What are you going to serve? Whether it's riches, whether it's money, whether it's a lifestyle of the world, what are you going to serve? Jesus demands total devotion. Okay? He's first. He's number one. It's all or nothing as a steward of God. Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. That word redeeming is a business term. It means buy back the time. Take advantage of every opportunity. Now I want to stop just a minute. I want to ask you, how are you doing as a steward? Do you view each day as an opportunity? Because it is. Every day. Do you redeem the time? How are you using your time? You know, I've taken time management classes. Have you ever done that? Teach you how to use your time well? It's been a long time ago. I've forgotten it in the process. But that's what we're supposed to be as stewards of God. Using our time well. Let me ask you, do you go to church? So I'm here, aren't I, Brother Doug? Good job. Good job. Let me ask you, do you go on Sunday night? Well, no, why not? Why not? Let's just be real, okay? I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm just, I don't go and throw it Sunday night, Brother Doug. Why not? What is there more important for you to invest your time in than worshiping God? Okay? Why not? Let me ask you this. Do you go on Wednesday night? He's real quiet now, doesn't he? I mean, I have to be here. I'm the preacher, and if I got to be here, y'all should have to come too. No, actually, I love being here. I really do. I love being here. But what else are you going to invest your time in that's better than being in the house of God? We have an awesome Bible study on Wednesday nights. You know, we're going to talk about this Wednesday night. We're going to talk about the rapture. I'm excited about that one. Because we're going and it's coming. Okay? Not just time, not just church attendance. I mean, how's your prayer life? Yeah, I've had people tell me, Brother Doug, I'm just too busy. I don't have time to pray. Oh, you better give something up. You better give something up. Listen, you can't serve two masters. Yeah? Either you'll serve God or you'll serve the world system or whatever else it is that you're pursuing. But you can't serve two. You got to decide who's number one. That's the point of it all. Who's number one? Do you spend time in the Word each day? Well, Brother Doug, I don't understand the Word. Get a Bible you understand, all right? But get in the Word. Why, you know, what else could you spend better, or how else could you better spend your time than in the Word of God? Watching TV? Yeah, buddy. Not quite. You see, as stewards, everything about us, God has to be the master. God has to be the master. Are you faithful? No one, verse 13, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or else you'll be loyal to one and despise or neglect the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Right? That's a statement of facts right from the words of the Savior. You see, we've got to decide today as stewards of God who's number one. And who is number one? Jesus Christ. It starts with a personal walk with Jesus. Personal walk with Jesus Christ. All right? Are you saved? If you're not, why not? You see, Jesus gave His life. And you've heard that He died on a cross. But don't you understand? Jesus died to pay for your sin. He died because you're a sinner. Not because He had a sin problem, but because you did. And He gave His all so that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, once you've called upon the name of the Lord, then comes stewardship. First step's baptism. Public identification with Jesus Christ. Next step is making Jesus the Lord and Master of your life. Listen. The idea in a personal relationship with Jesus is not that you miss hell, even though hell is very real. The idea in a personal relationship with Jesus is a personal relationship with Jesus. You know? It's so that you are connected to the God of this universe. And yes, okay, you don't have to worry about hell. I get that. But you know what? There are things that are much more joyful. You know, honestly, I don't think a lot about I'm not going to hell anymore. Why? Because I'm going to heaven. I think about the relationship part. That's what I want to invite you to today. You know, I want you to know the joy of when the Holy Spirit of God moves into your heart and takes over. I want you to know the joy. And don't get me wrong, we all fail, okay? We're going to form a line of failures. I'm front, okay? But one thing I know is that in my weakness, He's made strong. When I fail and I confess those failures to my wonderful Savior, He's faithful and just to forgive. All right? I invite you today, if you're not saved, would you come? If you are saved, you've never followed the Lord's scriptural baptism, would you come? If you're saved and you're baptized and you're not a steward, a faithful steward, if you would stand before God today and you know you'd hear the words, you're fired, there's still time. There's time for you to repent and go the other way. Time to be that faithful steward. Make that commitment before Almighty God as we have this invitation. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the day. I thank You for stewardship. Lord, we need You. We need Your wisdom. And we need Your guidance. And we need willing hearts that we may glorify You, Lord, through our stewardship. That we be faithful. Faithful in church attendance, faithful in giving, faithful in sharing the gospel, faithful, Lord, in every aspect of the stewardship that You've given to us, using our talents. Thank You, Lord. And now I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.